Welcome back to Radio Boston and our special live coverage of TEDx Boston from Faneuil Hall. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we are here just outside of Faneuil Hall on a brisk and cool day, but there have been some really fantastic ideas being shared inside today at TEDx Boston, and we're glad to be here.
Yeah, we are indeed. It may be cool outside, but some of these ideas are burning with heat. Earlier today, we heard from Astro and Danielle Teller about ways to reframe marriage and divorce in a more realistic light. Rather than vowing to love one another for as long as we both shall live, they suggested something different.
I, Astro, do promise to do my utmost to love you, Danielle, for as long as we are married. If a time comes when I do not love you, I will do everything in my power to rekindle that love. If that doesn't work, I will end our marriage as elegantly as I can.
Okay, that's more specific.
Good check.
And it's more informative, because
right?
Now I know
exactly
what you'll do if you stop loving me. But it's so unromantic. Nobody is going to say that at a wedding.
All right, okay.
No, they are not going to say that at their wedding. They're likely not to. But Astro and Danielle Teller are a husband and wife team. They are a computer scientist and a physician. So these are two who are not easily daunted. And they say we do need to reframe how we think about marriage and divorce. And they make their case in the book Sacred Cows, The Truth About Divorce and Marriage, where they look at the seven ideas which push and pressure people into getting married and staying married. And they join us now here at our Radio Boston table at TEDx Boston. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So first of all, let me ask you, Danielle, you're a physician and a researcher, and Astro, you're the head of Google X, so both of you really have a flair for solving complicated problems. But why this issue, this question of love, marriage, and divorce? What made you think that you wanted to tackle that?
It was really because we were obsessed with it. We have both gone through divorces. And like most people, we didn't think much about it until we got there ourselves. I mean, when we first got married, we didn't think we would ever get divorced. Once we were going through the process, it's such an emotionally disorienting process, and it takes over your entire life. You can't think about anything else when you're going through an emotional experience like that. And so we talked a lot about it and began to notice that there were things that people would say to us or things that we would read in books or in newspapers that when you held them up to the light of logic didn't make a lot of sense. And the more we talked about this, the more we thought, why doesn't anyone talk about it? We knew why we hadn't thought about it before because we hadn't been through divorce, but we just thought, this somebody needs to start talking about this. And Astro said, well, we should write a book. And I said, you're nuts. I've never written a book before. But that's ultimately what we did.
Well, and so the book is The Sacred Cows, The Truths About Divorce and Marriage. And you have seven sacred cows that you describe in the book. We don't have time to go through all of them, but I was wondering if you could just sort of briefly tell us about one or two of them. Like, for example, one of them that you talked about today at TEDx was the holy cow of marriage.
So I've been an entrepreneur for a long time, and now also at Google X. You know, contracts are important. The whole idea of a contract generally is to pre-negotiate friction. You know, you're friends with the other company that you're doing the deal with, so you're not frustrated with them now, but you make an agreement now about what would happen if you disagree later. That's the whole point of a contract. We actually talk about the contract of marriage, but when people go to get divorced, there's an incredible amount of hard feelings. And one of the reasons for that, when you really unpack why those people are so upset, is that there was not often a shared understanding at the beginning about what they were really promising each other. So if you go back to that moment when they get married and you look at how incredibly vague it is, the things that we say to each other, it's one way to see how the boogeymen of society sort of slip into the process of marriage and work their magic to try to cause us to feel bad at the end of a marriage. Uh-huh. In an attempt to keep us married. Yeah. And a way to combat, in this case, the holy cow, is to be specific. That does not mean that you can't say, I hope to love you forever. But I think it's realistic to say, I feel like I would love you forever. I hope to love you forever. I'd be surprised if I didn't love you forever. But that's different than promising something that you can't actually deliver. Like, how you're going to feel 10 years from now.
Well, let me ask you about that, because, Danielle, a minute ago you said something interesting about how when you held up some of our notions of love and marriage to the light of logic, it didn't really make much sense. But I do wonder, in all your thinking and research about this, I mean, love, isn't love inherently illogical? I mean, does it seem like people might wonder why even apply this sense of logic or rethinking marriage and divorce at all, because it does kind of take the romance out of it?
For sure, it can take the romance out of it. But I think love rubs up against all of the realities of life, right? So you fall in love, you get married, you have children. There are all these people now counting on that inchoate thing that you've promised to do. And you have very real responsibilities towards your children and towards society. And to balance it all on something that we're not willing as a society to really... We can't define. I mean, ask people to define true love. Everyone has their own sort of notion, and they'll say it means never having to say you're sorry. It means taking the garbage out to the curb. And everyone's got these things that they attach to true love. But we should be careful about trying to build so much of the structure of family and society on a concept that's very difficult to define, and that is something that we have virtually no control over.
Right. So, in the last couple of minutes that we have, I just wanted to briefly ask you, in writing the book and giving the talk and thinking about sort of realigning or maybe injecting a little bit of realism or our actual life experience and sort of how we view love, marriage, and divorce, are there any... sort of brief pieces of advice you'd give to people who are in the midst of this struggle, which I guess is pretty much everyone, right?
I think part of the reason we wrote the book, what we're hoping to pass on to people at the highest level, is there are a set of reasons to try really hard not to get divorced. It's expensive, it's emotionally painful for you and everyone else involved. Maybe your marriage can be saved and you could be happy afterwards. Those are good reasons to try to avoid divorce. But there are also a set of boogeymen designed, we call them sacred cows, designed by society, not for your benefit or for your spouse or for your children, but this general sense that society has that it would rather you stay together. And being able to approach whether your marriage still works for you without the pressure of those sacred cows on you is what everyone deserves. That's what we're hoping that people can take away from our book.
Yeah. Well, I note that we're having this conversation at a time where maybe people are naturally having a change of heart or thinking when it comes to marriage, because I'm looking at some research from the Pew Foundation. Last month, they found that 20% of Americans over the age of 25 have never been married, the highest rate ever recorded. So, I mean, there are lots of reasons for that, but we're in the midst of seeing the kind of change that you're writing about in your book.
Yeah, I think that over the last 100 years, marriage has completely changed. It used to be a way of passing money from one generation to another and a way of procreating. And women, in particular, had to be married in order to do a lot of things that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And now that's not the case. So now people have been freed up to not be married for any of the reasons that they used to have to be married for in the past. And now everyone marries for love. That's the primary reason. Nobody married for love in the past. That was gravy. You were just lucky if you loved the person you happened to marry. But now we marry for love. And I think a lot of younger people are seeing that without the other external pressures to get them into it, they really want to be very sure about that love piece that becomes extremely important.
Well, Danielle Teller is a physician, and Astro Teller is the head of Google X. They spoke at TEDx today about love and marriage and rethinking sort of the idea or the concepts that we bring into love and marriage. Their new book is Sacred Cows, The Truth About Divorce and Marriage. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And that concludes our special live coverage of TEDx Boston at Faneuil Hall today. We want to thank the entire TEDx Boston team, including curators Jimmy Guterman and Danielle Duplin, for being such great hosts to us today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Alex Kingsbury, Imogene Weinstein, and Kathleen McNerney, with help today from Julia Zabo.
Tim Skog is our technical director. Our on-site engineering team includes Carl Volker, Doug Wilson, Marquise Neal, and Dave DeRossier.
Also, special thanks today to WBUR's Director of Community Engagement, Louise Kennedy, and Program Manager, Iris Adler, for overseeing this great collaboration with TEDx Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.